Talking Points with Paul Hammond on UCB One.
Have you ever watched wheelchair rugby? I mean, it is a staggering game. You wouldn't get me playing it, I don't think. Goodness gracious me. The enthusiasm and the passion with which the players throw themselves into the game. I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, rugby is a game that requires people to throw themselves in with enthusiasm and passion as well, doesn't it? But wheelchair rugby, wow, staggering to watch. The speed, the skill, the control, and it has to be said as well, the level of physical contact. I mean, could it be that wheelchair rugby is actually the most violent sport in the world? Well, Steve Jones is, amongst many other roles, he is a chaplain for a wheelchair rugby club in Wales, for the Ospreys in Wales. And he joins me on the line today. What do you think? I mean, Steve, do you play or do you thankfully stand on the sidelines?
Morning, Paul. Yeah, I've had it going in the chair. Sometimes when they're training, the boys are low on numbers, they put me in the chair. And you're quite right, it is terrifying. It's a full contact sport. At its origin, its original name, believe it or not, was Murder Ball. It originated in Canada, and it was developed for the rehabilitation of ex-military personnel who were injured. So you can imagine they've always enjoyed an element of physical contact. And,
yes.
Yeah, it's quite a aggressive sport, really. But I should say that's just the one version of wheelchair rugby, Paul. There are two versions. The one we're talking about is the Paralympic version, which is full contact. But there is a second version, wheelchair rugby league, which is much less contact and involves a sort of tag approach by tearing off Velcro tags. So I wouldn't want to put off anybody who was interested in exploring the game by saying it's too violent, because there are different versions of it.
Indeed. And it is growing in popularity as well, isn't it? I mean, I think we've seen the Paralympic version of it, of course, on the TV, but it does seem that more and more clubs, and not just across the UK, more clubs around the world are actually picking up and getting involved.
Yeah, I think London 2012, the Paralympics set the bar very high, and there's been a sea change of opinion, really, and interest in the whole area of disability and adaptive sport. And, you know, wheelchair rugby is one of those sports that's benefited greatly from that increased interest.
And what do you, because obviously you're working with people who are involved, who have experienced severe trauma in their lives, and their life as they expected it to be curtailed, and a whole sort of rethink about how they might live their lives. What does the ability to do something like this, and something that is as impactful, if I might use that word, as this, what does it do for people in psychologically coping, spiritually coping with the change that's come to them?
Yeah, there are two categories of players. I don't like to label people with categories, but there are those, obviously, that have got congenital disabilities, who've been born with a disability and have grown up coming perhaps to terms with that and growing into their identity, and perhaps have been involved in sport for a long time. But then you have the second group that have acquired disability either through injury or illness. And it's in that second category that there tend to be a lot of questions around the big why questions of theodicy for those players that perhaps think a little bit about faith issues. You know, why would God allow this to happen to me? Some of the military personnel that we have, they sometimes a little bit into that journey already. They've discussed such matters perhaps with the military chaplains and the padres. And then I sort of just continue that journey with them as their chaplain and take them on into those type of questions at the pace that they want to go. I don't force it. I just journey along with them.
But I would imagine the fact that they can access something which does not only give a sense of independence, but also gives a sense of accomplishment. That's got to be an important element of recovery and development, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think people with disabilities generally can live quite isolated lives unless they're involved in some sort of club and some sort of social activity. So there's the whole social dimension of being part of a sports club. There's the camaraderie that is certainly vital to the well-being, the mental well-being of ex-military personnel. And then there's just the physical well-being. You know, it is a good workout when you come and do a couple of hours training and a couple of games after the drills. Just generally, it lifts the physical fitness levels, which helps with mental health as well.
One of the things that the club have been doing and that you've been involved with them in doing is looking to support wheelchair rugby in Africa. Mm-hmm. Not just in terms of the sport, but also in terms of addressing that fundamental thing about our attitudes towards people with disability.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've had opportunity to serve on a number of international chaplaincy teams at major sports events in the Paralympics and World Championships and Commonwealth Games. And you get exposed to issues of accessibility and equity in terms of disability sport in different countries around the world. And obviously Britain and the States is light years ahead in many respects in those areas compared to other developing countries. And so had an interesting opportunity. I met the Paralympic committee members of Kenya, and one of them saw the Ospreys wheelchair rugby logo on my day sack in the Athletes Village in Australia, and said, could we have a coffee and talk a little bit about wheelchair rugby? We have many wheelchair basketball players in Kenya, but they really want to play wheelchair rugby because it's more contact involved. But we don't have any specialist playing chairs. You'll understand the playing chairs for wheelchair rugby, Paul, they're reinforced steel. Yes, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
Anything between £3,000 and £5,000.
Wow.
And so the costs effectively prohibit that type of entry to the game for underdeveloped countries. And she said, could you possibly help us kickstart wheelchair rugby in our country? And so I went back after those games and spoke to our players and our coaches at the Ospreys and said, do you think we can do something? And they're big-hearted guys and girls in our team. And they said, yeah, surely we can do something. Let's have a bit of a think what we can do. And they dug out their old second-hand playing chairs that have, you know, seen better days, needed a refurb. They donated those chairs. I then had a discussion with the wheelchair manufacturing company in Bridgend in South Wales, from whom we buy our new chairs, and just planted the seed. Look, any chance as a goodwill gesture you could refurbish these Brilliant. Chairs for us?
Yeah.
RMA Sport were magnificent. They did that, and over and above that, they donated some chairs themselves, and that's resulted in the fact that 8 chairs now have been sent out to Nairobi. And they'll be forming the basis of a new wheelchair rugby club based in Kasarani in Nairobi. And it's just been lovely to be able to help another nation and the disabled population of Kenya to have the opportunity to play this wonderful sport, wheelchair rugby.
And I suppose that in many ways, I mean, obviously you work part-time with Sports Chaplaincy UK, and you work for the Wales branch of it, sportschaplaincy.org.uk/Wales. You can find out more about the situation there. But I suppose as a follower of Jesus, as a church leader and as a chaplain, to be able to actually let this light shine, as it were, not just in your locality, but internationally, I would imagine that's not something you expected to happen when you said, oh, yeah, I can do a bit of chaplaincy with a local sports club.
Yeah, it was a real unexpected joy. But my experience of the Lord Jesus is, when we give, we are blessed, and it's been a tremendous blessing to be able to make this gift to Kenya, to then travel out and to meet some of the folk who will be using them, some of whom are Christian brothers and sisters. There were a couple of players in the team there in the basketball team in Kasarani who are Christian brothers, and what a joy it was to be able to worship the Lord Jesus with them on the Sundays. And we're hoping it's just the beginning, Paul. We're hoping to make a link and twin our Ospreys wheelchair rugby team with Kasarani wheelchair rugby team, some cultural exchanges, some Christian exchanges, and I'm hoping to invite these Christian young Kenyans to come over and share their faith with the players in my team. Most of the players, virtually all the players in the Ospreys team are not followers of Jesus, but they'll be fascinated, I'm sure, to hear the story and the faith story of people like Caleb and others in the Kenyan team.
It's tremendous, and it's a tremendous opportunity, and they're doing so much to not only provide in a practical way for young people to actually be able to explore a new sport that gives them a sense of fulfillment in dealing with their disability, but also addressing issues around disability that perhaps, some parts of Africa not as broad-minded, shall we say, around these things, as we might expect to be here in the UK, and a tremendous opportunity for a Christian chaplain to be able to contribute, make a connection, and serve God in a very practical way. Steve, great to speak to you today. Steve Jones is from Sports Chaplaincy. Sportschaplaincy.org.uk is the website, of course. Thank you for joining us.